And our last speaker for this session is Professor Ann Steneman, who will be speaking today on From Shelf to Sound, Hidden and Hazardous Chemicals in Everyday Products. Ann, welcome.
Thank you so much, Steve. Thank you all for being here, and special thanks to the amazing Water Center staff, Debbie Livingstone, Dan Ribeiro, Nicole Addington, and the director, Bob Edmonds. They just do a fantastic job of putting this on. So thank you, all of you. Well, I am really excited to give this talk. It's really an honor to be here, and I'm going to tell you the untold story, and I'm going to present results today that have not been presented before. What are the hidden hazards? These are toxic chemicals in our everyday products that we use in our homes, our schools, our workplaces. Why don't we know about these? Because these products are not required to be tested, and these chemicals are not required to be disclosed anywhere, not on product labels or on material safety data sheets. But the good news is there's something that we can do about it, is that we can choose to use less toxic products that reduce not only our own exposure, but also the presence of these chemicals in our water systems. And this is the emphasis of the talk today. So exposure science looks at not only the sources of these pollutants, but also the receptors, how these chemicals reach and affect humans, and also the environment, stormwater, wastewater, and Puget Sound, using a variety of techniques and monitors. And this is a cover from a book I just recently published to illustrate that these chemicals can affect humans and aquatic species in many different ways. Epidermally through the skin, ingestion through food and water, inhalation, also from parent to child. Now, kind of as background and motivation, what have these exposure studies found? First is that we're regularly exposed to hundreds of potentially hazardous chemicals every day, and many of these stay in our bodies. And the sources of these chemicals are not ones traditionally believed, such as hazardous waste sites. But rather, the sources of these chemicals are close to us and within our control, and these hazardous chemicals are not disclosed. So the question is, what are these sources? Consumer products. So air fresheners, deodorizers, hand sanitizers, personal care products, baby products, cleaning supplies, laundry products. And this provided motivation for our research study funded by Seattle Public Utilities to look at these toxic chemicals and endocrine disrupting chemicals that come from household consumer products. And these products are also used in schools and workplaces. And look at how they get into stormwater, wastewater, and into water bodies such as Puget Sound. So we analyzed the products themselves. Then we looked at the presence of these chemicals or fate in transport in water systems and potentially adverse effects. And the overall goal is to provide solutions to promote source reduction and alternatives for consumers to use less toxic products. So just as a brief overview of how these chemicals go from our houses into Puget Sound, personal care products, laundry products, detergents go down the drain into sewage systems. Things that are used indoors, chemicals, migrate outdoors, and then are washed out into surface waters and storm waters, and then into water bodies. In our approach, we use a technique called gas chromatography mass spectrometry to analyze the VOCs, and VOCs are like fumes, like formaldehyde, and SVOCs, which are like musks and phthalates, which are endocrine-disrupting chemicals, and the products themselves. Then we looked at the emissions and effluents out of the house, and then the presence of these chemicals in streams and rivers, stormwater, wastewater, after wastewater treatment, and in Puget Sound. And some of these chemicals are distinct to fragrance consumer products. So one might say, well, phthalates are ubiquitous, but there's some chemicals such as musks and certain VOCs that are unique to these products. So we analyzed 25 of the best-selling fragrance consumer products. We are also analyzing unscented versions of those same products. These are billion-dollar sellers in America, ones that are widely used. We also analyzed ones that were labeled green, non-toxic, and organic, so the whole range of them, these different types of products, to see what kinds of chemicals are in these products and then to trace them into the water bodies.
Well, just as a more of a motivation here, so why did we look at fragrance products? Well, it turns out that some of the most hazardous chemicals in these products are part of the fragrance mixture. So any single fragrance in a product can contain several dozen to several hundred chemicals. They're primarily synthetic chemicals derived from petroleum. Many of them have associated toxicities with them. But fragrances do not need to be tested, and nothing in a fragrance mixture needs to be disclosed ever. What are some of the human health effects associated with exposure to fragrance products? These are ones that I have studied in my epidemiological studies, as well as that other researchers have. Anything from headaches, dizziness, seizures, asthma attacks, even loss of consciousness, and I have witnessed many of these effects in humans. And so you have to wonder, what kinds of effects are these having on aquatic life? I mentioned in my epidemiological studies, I conducted two national studies to try to look at the adverse health effects associated with exposure to fragrances and fragrance products. Quite surprisingly, nearly a third of Americans report some sort of adverse health effect, whether it's a headache or an asthma attack, breathing difficulty. And the prevalence of adverse effects is nearly twice as high among vulnerable populations such as asthmatics. Nearly a third of asthmatics have an asthma attack around an air freshener. Nearly 20% of asthmatics have an asthma attack if they're exposed to scented laundry products that are vented outside. Now, the implications for water systems, this study that we're doing is really the first of its kind in America. But in other countries have looked at fragrance chemicals in water systems. Interestingly, they're commonly found in both water sources and in drinking water. They're found before and after wastewater treatment. They're also found in biosolids and in reclaimed water. So the point is that these chemicals are very difficult to remove from the environment once they get into it. They've also been found to have adverse effects on aquatic life, damaging reproductive and endocrine systems, even at very low concentrations, parts per trillion. So here are the results. This is the exciting part. So I'm going to give some of the chemicals I found in virtually all the products, and I'm going to look at specific products and look at the chemicals that were found. So here are some of the common fragrance product chemicals. Acetaldehyde, a carcinogen. The EPA says there's no safe exposure level. It was found in virtually all of the products. It's a neurotoxicant, respiratory toxicant, a carcinogen. It's related with the different types of toxicities. 1,4-dioxane, an industrial solvent, was also found, commonly found in products. And these slides will be available on the Water Center website, so there's a lot of information here, so you can always download it and look at the results that way, too. So we have methylene chloride was actually found in a baby product. It's been banned by the FDA since the late 1990s, but it was found in these products. Formaldehyde, also a carcinogen, was found in the products. In addition, fragrance products also contain musks and phthalates, but those are ubiquitous. So I was looking here at some of the VOCs that were classified as toxic that were in the products. So now some examples. Best-selling fabric softener in America. So let's see what was listed on the label. Biodegradable fabric softening agents, cationic. Sounds innocuous enough. On the material safety data sheet, again, the fabric softening agents, perfume, colorant, quality control agents. On the MSDS, hazardous ingredients, none listed. There's some other language, and this is one of my favorites. I remember the smell of sheets when my mom tucked me into bed and the smell of her shirt when she leaned in for a good night kiss. Light, floral, and is familiar at home. What's in it? Okay. So I'm going to present results here. Each product had approximately two dozen VOCs that were at some level of significant enough to cause an adverse health effect. The ones that are in bold here are ones that are regulated as toxic or hazardous under federal laws in other sources. In other words, if these were coming out of a smokestack, they'd be regulated. They're coming out of a fabric softener, not regulated or disclosed. So ethanol, D-limonene, some chloromethane, another industrial solvent, acetaldehyde, a carcinogen, no safe exposure level. So there's a lot of bad actors in this here. Now let's look at a common bar soap. Ingredients on label? Nothing. Listed on the material safety data sheet? Nothing. Hazardous ingredients? None. Other language? 99.44% pure, simple, naturally clean. What's actually in this? Here we go. Okay, so more chemicals, again, the bolded ones are ones that are considered toxic or hazardous and regulated under federal laws in other sources. Interestingly, chemicals such as alpha pinene and D-limonene are terpenes, and when those get into ambient air, they react with ozone to create formaldehyde, a carcinogen. So not only are these chemicals hazardous, but they react readily with ambient chemicals to create additional hazardous products and things like ultrafine particles. Now, this is another interesting one. This is a soap that's heavily marketed as organic and all natural. And so on the label, we have organic herbal blend, organic aloe vera, organic white tea, organic, organic, organic. Okay, on the material safety data sheet, no ingredients listed, no hazardous ingredients listed. Other language, naturally antiseptic in general, pure essential oils, organic herbal infusions. It's actually in it. Okay, some pretty toxic stuff. Well, we got 2-butyoxyethanol, which was a hazardous air pollutant. It's a neurotoxicant and endocrine disruptor. Also, we have D-limonene, alpha-pinene, linalool, which, again, create formaldehyde. They're terpenes. So. And an organic air freshener. This is, again, widely used in stores and businesses in the Seattle area. No ingredients on label. On the material safety data sheet, we have essential oils, organic perfume, the trade secrets, and no hazardous ingredients listed. As you can see, same story, more hazardous chemicals. And finally, a dryer sheet, the $1 billion-a-year selling dryer sheet in America. Comparing the label ingredients and material safety data sheet, again, ingredients look safe enough. And this is what actually is in the dryer sheet. And we found these chemicals plus more being vented outdoors, which then wash out into waters. So the findings, the result. In these 25 products, detected more than 450 VOCs. These are instances of VOCs among the products. But out of these, only one was listed on any product label, only two on any material safety data sheet. Even though of these, more than 100 are already considered toxic or hazardous and regulated in other sources. And more than 150 of these have known toxicities to one or more body systems. So the question is, how can this be happening? We're living in America. Why is this the case? Well, one reason is that unlike foods and drugs, which do need to label all their ingredients, except for fragrances, but we'll get to that, consumer products do not need to disclose all of their ingredients anywhere. And if they do list ingredients, they tend to be the ones that look fairly benign. They do not need to disclose all their ingredients anywhere, not either on the label or on the material safety data sheet. They don't need to be tested before they're marketed, unlike foods and drugs. And fragrance chemicals and flavor chemicals, fragrances or flavors are about the same, are completely exempt from disclosure in any product at all times. Even if some of these chemicals are considered hazardous, hazardous air pollutants that have no safe level of exposure, according to the EPA. So we've just gotten some results back from our analyses of the water samples, and this work is underway, so we're going to be getting more sample results back. But what have we been finding in the water coming out of households? So we found some potentially toxic chemicals, musks, endocrine disruptors, and dichloromethane, which is considered a priority pollutant under the Clean Water Act. We found a lot of these same fragrance chemicals in the surface waters in the Puget Sound region in residential watersheds. We've also found these chemicals after wastewater treatment getting discharged into Puget Sound. So the question is, you know, why should we care? Is this really a significant problem? Well, one is we really don't know what we're being exposed to, and we're not being exposed to just individual chemicals. We're being exposed to mixtures, and the additive and synergistic effects of these chemicals is really unknown. Also, the health effects may be unknown. Even though we think, oh, we're not affected, we're just fine, neurological damage, respiratory damage, immune system dysfunction, endocrine disruption doesn't happen all at once. It can happen gradually. So we're continually exposing ourselves to these chemicals from multiple sources. Also, we carry these chemicals with us as a body burden, and fragrance chemicals are designed to persist. They do not easily dissolve. They persist in human bodies and in the environment. There's a lag time between when we're exposed and when we actually see effects, and we may not know all the possible effects. And here's an important point, is that low-level exposures can be hazardous at the parts per billion, parts per trillion level. Not only do low-level exposures add up, but what we've recently found is that low-level exposures can be more hazardous than higher-level exposures. It's a non-monotonic dose response curve. So then the question I get often is, are these natural, organic, or certified green products any safer? Now, unlike foods, which have a stringent requirement for being certified as organic, consumer products have no such requirement. So in the ones that we've tested, we found the green, organic, natural products were typically as hazardous, if not more hazardous, than their counterparts. Also, if you look for something that's fragrance-free or unscented, it can often be a fragrance product with just the addition of a masking fragrance, which has more chemicals on top of the fragrance product. So what can we do? Basically, avoid products with any kind of a fragrance, perfume, or scent. And the results that we have so far from the unscented products, they have significantly fewer and at lower concentrations of the hazardous chemicals. The base product formulation may still contain some toxic chemicals, but it was a significant difference between the fragrance version and the unscented version. Also, I've tested a range of air fresheners and deodorizers. I've not found a single one that does not emit hazardous air pollutants with no safe exposure level. And fortunately, there's a wealth of information on the internet about non-toxic cleaning supplies and mixtures. Basically, very simple products like our grandmother used to use work really well for cleaning. Future directions for this work, to look at effects of chemical mixtures on humans and aquatic species, toxicity testing to know how can we evaluate products to determine if they're really safe, what kinds of chemicals should we be looking for. Also, one of the reasons that consumers don't know about these hazardous chemicals is that the methods and technologies are very difficult and expensive, so the ordinary consumer can't find out what they're being exposed to. So ultimately, I'd like to see a way to have individual sensors or monitors be able to detect these chemicals. And finally, kind of the goal here is source reduction. The idea is if we can reduce the loading at the beginning with consumers, then we can also reduce the effects in the environment and in water systems. Main messages in conclusion, these products contain potentially toxic chemicals that harm humans and water systems and the environment, but these are not disclosed, not on labels or on material safety data sheets. Beware of claims of organic, natural, or non-toxic, and good alternatives are available. Thank you very much. Oh, wait.
So efficient, we have time for some questions.
Okay. Yes?
And I'm just wondering, have you had any threats or other blowback from manufacturers of these hazardous materials?
Thank you. That's a great question. Have I had any threats from manufacturers from these hazardous materials? Interestingly, what's nice is I've gotten an overwhelming positive response from actually around the world. I was just on talking to a newspaper reporter from Slovenia. It's been great. So this has really hit a nerve, and I've only received two dissenting opinions, both from companies. And they haven't questioned the results. They just said, we can assure you our products are safe. So I asked them, how can you assure me your products are safe? We can assure you our products are safe. So it goes back and forth. They won't ever say how they actually tested their products. Great question. Yes, question please.
In the organic products you tested, are the source of the hazardous chemicals naturally occurring chemicals or those from the chemical industry?
Excellent. Thank you for that question. The question was, in these organic products that I tested, were the source of the chemicals naturally occurring chemicals or were they some synthetic chemicals? The hazardous chemicals were typically synthetic chemical solvents. They were solvents that were added to the fragrance mixture. Yes, question.
A lot of research has been done on this recently, and I just worked on a campaign in Maine to ban a whole bunch of these chemicals in like children and babies. I was wondering if there's similar legislation going on here.
That was a great question. So The question was, working on a project in Maine to ban some of these chemicals in children's toys and products, has there been similar work here in Washington? Well, I can tell you, Washington is the place to do it. There's been work on looking at some phthalates, bisphenol A, flame retardants, but this work hasn't targeted fragrance compounds because really it's been a secret to find out what's in these compounds, these mixtures. Great question. Question, please.
Yeah. Actually, more of a food bill. I don't know if you've seen today's news, but probably based on your work, in New York, a bunch of environmental groups announced today that they're suing the manufacturers of Todd, Procter & Gamble, et cetera, the big companies, to make them disclose on their labels their ingredients, including fragrances. So probably a huge kudos.
Thank you. Thank you. That's great news. The news is that Procter & Gamble now has to disclose ingredients. But I still don't think there's any law that requires disclosure of fragrance ingredients, because the European Union actually passed legislation requiring fragrance, only 28 fragrance ingredients to be disclosed. Well, there's nearly 3,000 different types of fragrance ingredients, and the 28 that they require disclosure of were the relatively non-toxic ones. It's almost like a red herring. So they didn't really target the really bad ones. Yes, question, sir.
What is specifically being done lobbying and or educationally, and more specific to the 60,000 to 70,000 people directly affected by the University of Washington students and our staff? What's being done?
What's being done about the people being directly affected? I'd like to, let's talk afterwards. I'd like to help that cause, so yeah. Thank you. Yes, another question. Yes, Steve. What can consumers do? Thank you for that question. Well, first is to protest or to complain. I mean, when you have this information, speak up. Request that stores carry fragrance-free products. If you go into a building that has an air freshener or is using some of these products, request that they not use it. So I hate to say complain, because I don't like to complain about anything, but you really have to speak up. Also, choose the less toxic products in the stores. Now, I know it's difficult if things aren't disclosed on their labels, but in general, health food stores tend to carry products that have fewer of these toxic chemicals than are regular brands. Thank you. That's a great question. Yes, question. Great idea. So the question is there any way to find out from these companies what's in their fragrance? Absolutely no way, no how. Even under lawsuits, there is no way that they will ever need to disclose that information. There's a layer of legal exemptions on fragrances, not only trade secrets exemptions, but general exemptions for fragrances. Yes?
Is fragrances similar to artificial flavoring in foods?
Yes, the flavors and fragrances are essentially the same types of chemicals. And beware, whether it's called artificial or natural, it's basically the same types of mixtures. Again, that's just marketing, whether it's called artificial or natural or organic. Yes.
Are you or the people in the study producing any sort of layperson brochure that people could have or print off to give to a business or somebody to say, hey, this is something you should look at and you may want to think about what you're using?
Thank you so much. The question was, are we producing any kind of brochure that people can use? The Water Center has generously developed a fact sheet, worked with them. So there's a fact sheet out on the front desk. Also, there's the articles on my website, but those may not be appropriate. But the fact sheet is really something you can use and just take to people. Radio. Yes?
In response to a question up there earlier, there are public interest groups that have done a lot of the same testing as you have, and they've compiled an enormous database. One of them is called greenbeauty.com.
Was it Environmental Working Group?
Okay,
so I need to caution you about that too. So the Environmental Working Group has come up with a toxicity testing and database. They relied on listed and disclosed ingredients. They did not test the products. This is really the first study that's tested fragrance consumer products. So Environmental Working Group did a great job. They took the listed ingredients, looked at phthalates, a lot of endocrine disrupting chemicals, but they didn't actually test the products. Again, they were relying on what industry chose to disclose on their label. Yes, question.
Now that we have an environmentally sympathetic federal administration, would regulatory reform be a possible approach? So can we move maybe in the direction of changing the laws to require product labeling and to require disclosure and testing of these products for safety?
Oh, thank you. Great question. With the new administration, what about regulatory reform? What are the chances of getting better labeling? Well, I think there's really three parts to this. One is the businesses, one's government and regulation, the other is the consumers. And it all starts with the consumers. The consumers have to demand the change for the government to take action, and then for businesses to realize it's an issue of demand, consumer demand. If they start demanding different products, then practices will shift. Yes, question. One more.
You mentioned how a lot of these products are comforts for people, and it reminds them of home, back when Mama used to do the laundry and jump in bed. How do you, since it's a comfort for a lot of people, how do you convince them
Right. That's a great question. I mean, obviously, I mean, that's quite, I mean, how do you, you know, get people to not use these products if it's so part of their daily lifestyle and it's part of their comfort? I mean, that's a very good question because obviously people like these products because they sell well. An analogy is cigarettes. People really like cigarettes too. But that doesn't mean that they were safe.
True.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you.